What is up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a couple of comic books that came out this week, kicking it off with Ronin Island number 4.
Nice. I love it. Summer, it's time for an island book, you know?
Yeah,
I'm on island time.
Yeah. Just
Ronin Island time.
I got myself a pina colada. Got a little Greg Pak.
And that's what this book is all about, chilling out in the midst of a horrifying zombie apocalypse.
This is actually a little bit of a down issue, so to speak, at least in terms of the action. Like, they've finished off the main thrust of the action.
So much happens in this
issue. So much happened, but they're taking a moment to take stock in this issue and figure out what their next steps are.
I mean, so many people died. You reveal what was causing the zombies?
Yeah.
Other than that, real down issue.
I don't know what your vacations are like.
Yeah, no, I guess not. You live a high-paced zombie island life. This book is fun. I feel like it takes risks in ways that other books don't. I think I've said this every time we've talked about it, but it feels to me like you're playing a game of Final Fantasy, and I like that.
Yeah, I still don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's good.
Every time you say it.
I'm really happy with this issue because two people are finally stopping fighting, and they're going to team up. And it was kind of a beautiful moment, and also there was a couple of sad deaths. But I love this book. The art's amazing. The writing is fantastic. It's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, the everything you guys said, plus the fact that the mythology in the book is very interesting. It does feel very different. It's hit very differently. I really like where this is going. All right, let's kick it off with a DC comic book, Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, number 2. Now, I don't know if you guys read the first issue of this. I went into it very trepidatious about what was going to happen. I hadn't read the first two.
Like, these guys don't get along.
Well, I kind of felt like, okay, you know, James Tynion is great. Like his writing, but I haven't been the hugest TMNT fan necessarily, and it felt like a stunt for stunt's sake.
Yeah.
This one mashes together the universes of Batman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and in the first issue it ended with the craziest visual ever, which was Krang in the Anti-Monitor's stomach.
Yeah.
Because they're manipulating the universes, they moosh them together. Batman lives in the sewers with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's adorable.
And as we find out in this issue, has been their brother all along.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So fun.
I'll tell you what, I told my kids that. They could not stop laughing. They were enjoying it so much.
Right.
Like, and I think that's good. Like, that's the sort of plot you want out of a comic, is that sort of fun. The thing that gets mixed in this issue, that was the big cliffhanger of the last issue, is one of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in black and white showed up to warn them that things were wrong with their two universes. Yes, yeah. Pete.
And as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle head in this group, what's great is the original...
No one would argue with that.
The original Eastman and Laird comic is honored with the black and white. Eastman and Laird.
Not familiar with the names.
All right, well, they're the guys who invented Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, nice. So, like, with the pizza and, like,
This was when they were black and white issues
and action,
they were darker.
With the action figures and the cartoon.
No, this was all before
with
that.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh, those are fun. And then when they were we're frogs, but we're like them.
No, that's a completely separate thing. No, so this is great because this is...
Are you thinking of the radioactive hamster things or whatever?
That's good, yeah.
No, I'm not. I don't understand why you're having such a hard time with this. So the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was Eastman and Laird. They were all black and white issues. They weren't these party animal dudes.
It was like a coloring book.
No, it was, oh my God, it was just a focus on their story and martial arts.
And that's when they first met Batman?
No. But what's great about this book is
that this is the third one, so I assume there were like two before. Was the black and white Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1?
I really hate you guys. So what's nice is we're getting a nod to a lot of things in this issue, and it almost seems like too much of a mashup, but it works really well, and it's a lot of fun. Seeing Krang in the Anti-Monitor, I was so excited about this. If you would have told me, I'd have been like, that sounds dumb, but it's actually done really well. And I'm very impressed with this mashup. I thought this was going to be a joke issue, but I ended up enjoying it very much.
Yeah, James Tynion is such a smart writer, and he does a great job taking what feels opportunistic, like Alex was saying, and taking advantage of it and making like a really surprising, great book.
Yeah.
I just got to Google these turtles.
For the record, I will say, in all seriousness, I hated the cartoon because I had read the Eastman and Laird turtles, and I was like, this is great. And when everybody's like, oh, you got to check out this cartoon, I was like, what the fuck is this? What are they joking about? Shut up. This sucks.
Oh, see, I love the cartoon, except for when Michelangelo went to a grappling hook.
Ooh, oh, yeah. What? Very controversial.
For a long time, he had nunchucks.
Yeah.
But then
nunchakus.
Sure. But then there was a problem with people hitting other people with nunchucks.
Yeah.
Both adults and children, I'll say.
It's now
very specifically.
It's all now legal in New York City.
It's actually not illegal. Very recently, nunchucks were made legal in New York City.
I can walk the streets again.
As Pete has been doing every night, he walks around hitting himself in the balls with his nunchucks.
Screaming, I love being a turtle. All right, moving on to an Image comic book, Thumbs number one.
Yes.
This is a new, post-apocalyptic isn't exactly right, futuristic sci-fi tale. Mm-hmm. It's not immediately clear what's going on at the beginning or the middle of this book. But man, the art in here and the layouts is so good.
I thought this was a great comic.
Oh, amazing comic.
I was not totally on board for like the first 5 to 10 pages or so. I was like, all right, where is this going? What's going on with this? But as they slowly unfurl what is happening in the world of the book, they weave in elements of virtual reality. They tease things about what is actually going on in this world. And when they have the final reveal at the end of the issue, it's huge because they've laid in the characters so well. And I know I'm dancing around.
You are dancing.
What happens in the book, but I don't want to spoil it for people because it's such a great ride.
Stylistically, this reminds me of Deadly Class, both in the writing and the art. And I mean that in a complimentary way, because it's not at all like the story, but it just feels like that kind of story. Yeah. But a lot of great surprises.
Like over-the-top violent or gross.
No.
But I also really love the social commentary about like technology raising kids and stuff like that. Because realistically, I had parents, and I still feel like I was kind of raised by my television and cartoons and stuff like that. Yeah. So I really kind of love what this comic is saying, and the art's fantastic, amazing storytelling. I'm really impressed with this comic.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to the cartoons that raised you about the job they did. I have a meeting up with G.I. Joe that really asked him some harsh questions.
Next one to talk about from Archie Comics, Riverdale Season 3, Number 4, coming out on the 26th. Now, as usual, don't spoil it. Thanks, Pete. As usual, there are two different stories going on here. One of them involves a meeting between Betty Cooper and Gladys Jones.
Yep.
And the other one is about Veggie on the high seas. Now,
sentences don't make any sense.
Here's a bunch of nonsense for you. As usual, I'll say I like this book. I like the first story a bit more than the second one.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fun.
On our Riverdale podcast, I talk a lot about how the Betty and Jughead relationship is like this, especially this past season. They don't seem like they're happy. They don't seem in love with each other
because
you don't get intimate moments. You just get them checking and being like, "Hey, what part of the case are you on?" And in this book, they start off with a nice date.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, that's what I'm missing. But she should be with Archie.
Fuck you.
Gladys Jones?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Glarchy.
That might happen.
Yeah, man, anything could happen.
Yeah, especially when it comes to Archie.
You could just draw it yourself. That's the beauty of life.
That's the great thing about comics. You could go into any comic shop in the world and just start drawing shit wherever
you want. They could take your clothes off and be like, this is bullshit. I have the right ideas.
No, and then you can use whatever
medium you want to draw in, like your own feces.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, thank you to Midtown Comics for supporting our live show.
What the fuck?
Even
man?
After Dude, the incident.
We don't talk about it too much.
And the second story with Reggie and Veronica, who I also ship pretty hard, was great.
I agree with Zalbs. I think the first story was a lot of fun. Second story was just a little lighter. But I've been enjoying this since it's really kind of based on the TV show instead of the original comic. I've been enjoying it a lot more.
You're ridiculous. Moving over to another Image comic, Criminal number 5. Now, this is the kickoff of what they're promising is the biggest criminal story of all time.
Longest,
biggest, whatever you want to call it. They're all just words.
Who
even cares at this point?
Oh, shit. Alex has reached his limit.
So
this kicks off with a story of a detective who's going after a missing girl who seems at first just to be missing, but there's a lot more going on with her, as usual in these sort of stories. But by the end, he meets another character from Criminal, and it's going to very quickly spin out of control and bring together a lot of threads and a lot of the different Criminal stories. This is really cool.
This is great. It feels like if you're a fan of Criminal, this is like the movie. Like they just did a Deadwood movie right at like 12 or 19 years after the series or whatever. This is like that. It feels like it's the big budget thing that's bringing together all the characters you've seen. And I love this comic. It's great.
This is the first time that I'm really loving this comic.
Really?
Before, like the characters weren't that great, but I'm really impressed.
That's first of all, crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. But I'm really impressed with this, and I'm excited to see where this goes, and also excited to see if this makes me want to go back and reread some of the stuff that maybe I didn't like as much.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe you've grown since then, because these guys are masters of the form right here.
What is it about this story in particular that drew you in more? Do you know, Pete?
It's because the characters we weren't focusing on weren't pieces of shit. They were interesting enough, and you didn't immediately not like them or like them. They kind of had this, here's a bunch of information about them. We're going to find out if they're good people or bad people together.
So you want to read a comic called Nice Person rather than Criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen. All right, moving on to another one from DC Comics. Deceased number 2. Still not very high on the spelling of this title, I got to tell
you.
Big problem with this comic. They got to spell it differently in a way that makes more sense. Let's move on to our next review now that we've come
our criticism.
Come on, there's a lot of stuff to talk about in this issue.
Yeah, no. So Anti-Life Equation has morphed and merged with other things in the DC universe, created a pseudo zombie virus that is wiping out and driving everybody insane who looks at a screen. I'm looking at a screen right now, so I'm a little worried if I go crazy.
You're just first one down, bro.
I'm saying is you guys better lay down and die because you're not taking me out. That's all I'm saying. And Batman was in a bad situation at the end. He had tried to stop it. Things were coming after him.
Too many screens.
And when we pick up, things only get worse from there.
Yeah. That was tough. That was tough to watch, man.
Yeah.
So
that whole Robin thing, broke my goddamn heart.
We'll talk about this a little bit with the last issue, but this one very much reminded me of Tom Taylor's run on Injustice, because he's, again, focusing on some of his favorite characters there. He brings in Green Arrow and Black Canary. He gives riffs
great
on
scene
them. Oh, it's such
Green
a good
Lantern,
scene.
Yeah.
I really like this a lot. How'd you guys feel about it?
Yeah, this really makes me want to invest in this series. The first issue, I was like,
invest.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like this is really kind of cool, especially with that whole Batman
DC
thing.
Stock is going up.
Yeah, guys, buy now.
Put your money in comic books. Like, literally, put a $10 bill in an issue of a comic book and put it back on the show.
And seal it. And
by the way, what was the name of your show? Very Mad Money?
Yeah. Crazy Stupid Money?
Yeah.
I don't understand money.
I don't know how money
works.
Please
help me. I don't have any money. I like this a lot, too. I keep saying smart take, but that's what this is here. It's a smart take on the zombie story. It's different. It uses DC continuity of the Anti-Life Equation in an interesting way. And it really feels like all these heroes, no matter how powerful they are sort of up against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it ends with a pretty big event.
Also, there's a very pro-camping kind of philosophy.
That is
comic.
The biggest thing about it.
Yeah,
it's that's real, the camping away. Message.
Yeah, I feel like, wow, they're really pushing this whole camping thing.
Get out
But
there.
It's summertime. Guys, go out and camp.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Get off the island and go camping.
I like to camp in the winter because all the mosquitoes are dead.
Yeah, that's another great point. Winter camping is an unending nightmare.
Moving on to another Image comic book, Birthright.
Birthright's good, too. It's up.
It's up.
It's always up. At least in my house, it is.
Oh,
maybe we're peaking.
Wow. You guys need to stop having kids.
I'm never going to stop.
Birthright, I love Birthright. It's great. I love it. It keeps you busy. This comic keeps you busy.
Birthright number 36. You love this book, bro.
I love it.
You want to talk about it, bro?
Yeah, bro, talk about it, bro.
I feel like I have pitched for this book every single month that it has come out. The premise of this book is that a kid gets sucked into a magical dimension where he is the chosen one, and then he gets pushed back into our dimension. He's aged up. He's a super muscular hero.
And then he was evil for
and
a
then
while.
He, well, here's the twist. He was the chosen one meant to take down the evil magician who was running the world, a fantasy world named Lore. Turns out he comes back to Earth, and he did not take him down. He, in fact, was overtaken by him and lost. And dealing with the aftermath of that, a lot of family is involved here. His younger brother has become entered the fantasy part of the story. He's become a magician. And this is sort of there's been a little bit of break in issues, and this is starting back up dealing with magic on Earth now. And the barriers between Earth and Theranos are coming apart, and it is awesome. It's a great book. This is a great jumping on point, but go back and read them all.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm glad there's a comic talking about magic and how, you know, important it is in our society, in our world.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful because if, you know, our world and the magic world collide too much, you know.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. That would be pretty bad.
I say this, this is going to sound bad, but I mean this in a good sense. I'm ready for this book to end.
What the fuck is with this guy?
Yeah.
You know what? You think you know him? And maybe he's just a different guy wearing this guy's face.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think he came back from the magic world, an evil he's version. Evil.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Hey. But instead of the magic world, it's just work, his job.
It's work.
He
just came back from work like fucking pissed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bad Do you know what the work. Difference between you and me, Pete, is one bad day at work.
And now we're experiencing that. The real answer is we had to do too many takes reading a thing before this. Now I'm just mad about that.
I'm really not. The thing about Birthright is, like, first of all, there was that long break. So it definitely took me a while to remember exactly where we were in this book.
Right.
But it also feels, hearing you describe the premise, we've gotten so far away from it at this point. The reason I want it to end is I feel like we've ran out of that premise. I like these characters, but this is very much a premise-driven book, and I want to see it come to a satisfying
end. Oh, you must hate the Marvel Cinematic Universe then, because it started with this guy, Iron Man, dealing with this.
Yeah, and then it ended, and then we saw the last movie, Avengers Endgame, and now the Marvel Cinematic Universe is done. Nice. And we can move on to the next thing, which, of course, is the Wine Country Cinematic Universe.
Yes, no, that's definitely the movie on everyone's lips.
Wine Country, now on Netflix.
Wine Country, not sponsoring us. And go watch it if you want.
All right, last one we're going to talk about.
But anyway, hold on a second.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What?
Nothing. I disagree with you. I think it's taken the premise of the book's Birthright started with and has really blown it out, and we're able to take a journey with these characters rather than being
stuck in
one premise.
It's blown out too much. It's too much blowing out.
I'm on the journey. I'm along for the ride.
So you guys might not know about this, but every Jew is allowed
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
I'm telling you, he had a really bad day.
Holy shit. Every Jew is allowed to
murder one of his podcast hosts.
Is allowed to visit Israel
right.
until age 13,
right.
And they're provided for, they're taken on a trip, etc. This is called a birthright trip. It doesn't last forever, right? You visit Israel, you check it out
so
for
it's got to be 13 issues and done?
And, and you head back at the end, all right? Whoa. Because you're like, I got my impressions, I'm going to bring the impressions back to everybody else. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. I see.
This book clearly is a metaphor for the birthright trip that Joshua Williamson took, and unless he's still in Israel, fucking edge your book, man.
Wow.
You think
wow,
he's still
dude.
In Israel on the dime? On the
Are you
stepping in for this book?
I don't know. I can't tell if like you didn't go on your trip or your trip wasn't long enough. I can't tell
I
what
never
you really
made it on my trip.
Oh wow! Yeah. I think that's what.
Why
it's
not?
I don't know. I never had the time. I'd love to go to Israel though.
Never had the time as a 12-year-old. You're like I'm too busy.
Super busy.
Hey, mom, dad, and everyone in my church, my synagogue, I can't go. Yeah. I'm too busy.
I was too busy investing in comic book futures.
Oh yeah, good. That's where
and
the
that
cash
has paid off.
Last one to talk about from DC Comic Books, Justice League number 25. This is brings together some of the biggest characters in DC Comics. Superman, who's a guy from Krypton.
Oh, Batman. My God. What is happening?
There's actually a lot going on in this
book. This is like a full
meltdown. Did anybody else get choked up? Anybody else get a little choked up in this issue?
Can I give a rundown of the premise?
Sure.
Because I'm curious where you got choked.
Yeah, exactly. Start crying when he hits the part that made you cry.
Yeah. So the Justice League has been trapped in the sixth dimension where they've seen a future version of themselves created by a guy named the World Forger, who is the brother of the Monitor and the Anti-Monitor.
Fucked up family.
The World Forger wants to recreate the universe into the best possible version to save them from an upcoming invasion. Unfortunately, spoilers on 1, 2, 3, by the end of the issue, they fail. They've actually already failed because the Legion of Doom pretends or kind of saves the world from Mr. Misoplicic. And in the midst of that, Lex Luthor makes an offer to every villain in the DC universe, says, I'm going to release all of my tech, all of my powers, soup money. You guys up, all my money, and I'm going to turn the world towards doom. Let's do this. Let's stop pretending. We're not villains. Let's be villains.
He makes that offer to everyone on the planet.
Yeah.
Be your own villain. Be a villain in your life. Because he's saying the universe is ending anyway. Why don't we cut loose?
Yeah.
And he calls the heroes sort of cowards for not giving into their true selves, their villainous
Also, they're
sides.
Not there. They're off fighting.
Yeah.
Doing stuff. The Superman entrance is what got me choked
yes,
up.
That was very good.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, that part was great. I really like the resolution here. I mentioned the offer because the way it happened, I was very surprised by. When they described it, it seemed like the Neron, whatever it was thing.
Neron, yeah. Villains Unleashed. Underworld Unleashed. Yeah.
It seemed like it was going to be that. This is a very different thing.
Yes.
And I like the direction of this a lot.
Yes. Yeah, this was great.
Really enjoyable.
Really well done. And it's such a surprise because the first half of the issue I thought was great, a great conclusion to the storyline that we've been following. And then the fact that they pivoted so well and so hard into this other massive DC year-long event, I thought was just felt really organic. Was
also well, what was nice is you kind of got like an explanation of why people did what they did, and that was also really cool. We had some great like Batman Superman moments, and like it was really this is really well written and well drawn.
Are you gonna take the money from Luthor and be a villain?
I'm a villain all day anyway.
You know so I mean? You're cool.
Yeah.
So you don't need the money.
I don't need money.
Yeah, you're plenty.
No, thank you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Wait, would you take the offer?
And be a villain for a year?
Yeah.
Just for a year? It's like a gap year?
Yeah,
it's like
so.
A birthright from hell sort of a thing?
Yeah, it's like, you know, go to another country and fuck up that country.
Okay, I'm in.
Oh.
What about you?
No way, man.
It's like the purge.
Virtuous. Yeah, would you do a purge?
No.
I would do a purge.
No.
No, I'd do it on a non-purge day.
Wow, dude, you're a fucking badass.
Anybody can purge.
That's why you wear shades. You're yeah. so fucking
oh, yeah.
cool.
That's like how the night before my 21st birthday, I bought liquor.
Yeah, yeah. See, badass.
Yeah, you got to purge on an off purge day.
That's yeah. That's just as badass as what I was saying.
If you'd like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on down, and we'll give you some stock tips or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely take some stock tips from us. We are high on the hog.
Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, or the app of your choice. And we'll see you at the comic book shop.
And we'll send Alex a cake or something to work tomorrow because something's fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah.